our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, O put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 19, the verses 28 through 42. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 19, beginning with verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again in other scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wounded in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. And now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, a wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, then it has pleased thee that in the evening hour of this Lord's day, that the doors of thy house have been opened for the second time, and insofar that it is possible that we and our children may receive a place under thy word and eternal testimony. And, O Lord, may it please thee in this evening hour to look upon us and our children, poor sinners, and the Son of thine eternal love. Ah, wilt thou grant tokens, those special tokens, that thou knowest of us, and that thou art working by word and by spirit, that we and our children do not become overly discouraged. Lord, possible that in this hour that there are those that have come up to thy house, those that never leave their place unlawfully empty, and that they have thought whether there is still a purpose, where they are still unconverted. Ah, the fear that at the end they shall be sent to that place where hope shall never come and prayer be not made. Ah, Lord, may it then please thee in this evening hour. Oh, perhaps those that have come up, that have not even asked before they have come up to thy house whether they would be converted, because it seems so impossible. But, ah, Lord, bless then thy word in this evening hour. Perhaps souls have come up who have become a seeker, who by thy grace, by the work of thy spirit, have gathered many goodly pearls, and in the further way have hoped with those goodly pearls to trade them in and to receive the pearl of great price. But, oh Lord, where it seems that thou wert even taken away what they thought they have believed, and where they can become so discouraged, Lord, may it then please thee to be a surprising God in this afternoon hour, in this evening hour. Oh, wilt thou come down with thy spirit? Wilt thou shed a ray of thy divine love in the hearts of young and old, and to receive those further leadings, oh, we hope to hear, of the death of thy dear Son. Ah, perhaps a Thomas in our midst, where all their expectations have come to an end. But may they in this evening be given to look upon that precious mediator, pierced hands and pierced feet, who has cried out, "It is finished, Lord," and the life of thy people, it can become so still. The psalmist of old has said, "Thought upon the days of old." Ah, Lord, when they think back when it was so different, may that become the need We are so dependent upon the work of thy Holy Spirit, Lord. Thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. May that become our prayer, may that become our burden, and that we may be given to humbly beg of thee in the latter days of the earth, that thou may do a great work in the hearts of young and old, that thou may work from generation to generation. Wilt thou bless the manifold means of grace to that end? Wilt thou remember, help, and bless the consistory, bless all the labors? May there be many Aarons and hers. Wilt thou remember fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children? The first responsibility lieth upon their shoulders. They have promised the same with the baptism of their children. But thou wast also given a school to be a help. And hitherto, in the summer months, then thou wast spared all the children. Whether that shall still be so in the day of tomorrow is known unto thee. And then by renewal we commend unto thee the son in a serious condition, O Lord. Thou art able to spare and to care above all. Wilt thou save his never dying soul? Wilt thou remember his loved one in these trying circumstances? Lord, then we commend unto thee the school board and their weighty and responsible task, who is sufficient unto these things. We commend unto the administration, the principals, with the oversight over the school. Wilt thou remember all the instructors, with those that may stand at their side? Wilt thou especially remember them when they are called upon to call upon thy holy name and to open thy precious word? O Lord, may the simple instruction be blessed in this year for the conversion of our children, for the conversion of our youth. Wilt thou remember all those that labor in the school, those that may keep the school clean? We commend unto thee the bus drivers when they are called to bring the children to and fro. Wilt thou graciously watch over them, not only when the roads are slippery, but also when the roads are dry? May we be given to feel more and more our dependency upon thee. Lord, remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Bless thy word among Jew and Gentile. Remember the nations of the earth. There are nations where there is great turmoil, civil war, persecution. Wilt thou remember that people in distress, and what maketh us and our children, that under all the different circumstances that we may still live in a country where we may go in and out and where we may still come up to thy house. Wilt thou remember the nations of the earth? Remember also our nation when there hopes to be an election, O Lord. May the prayers be multiplied, that thou may show a little mercy and grant men that have respect for thy holy word and that have learned to bow their knees. Wilt thou also remember our province? Lord, we remember all the special needs. Wilt thou remember the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, all those that have brought dear ones to the cemetery? Wilt thou continue to uphold them? And wilt thou remember the elderly ones in the evening of their life? Oh, wilt thou remember all under the physician's care, the difficulties of the body and of the mind? And may the means be blessed. And where the virus continues to spread, Lord, and may it please thee to watch over us and our children. And the psalmist has declared, commit thy way unto the Lord and trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. May we be given to cast all our cares upon thee. And then we remember all the sick also in this province. Wilt thou help all those that work in the medical field, in the field of care, and also in emergency departments? Wilt thou also impress upon their hearts how dependent they are upon thee for everything? And Lord, under the circumstances, then so much has changed in church life, that our classes has not gathered for a long time. Also the General Synod, the Curatorium, and different committees and boards. Then we may humbly ask thee that a way may be made, that the time may come that they may gather for the welfare of thy church. Lord, wilt thou remember all the crosses and all the burdens? Wilt thou remember and help the handicapped ones with those that care for them? We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, we commend unto thee a young couple who in the near future hope to be united in holy matrimony. May they be given to need thee in all their preparations, and may they be given to humbly beg of thee that it may be a marriage in thy favor for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Wilt thou remember all of our young people? Wilt thou grant them a future spouse with whom they may travel through this life under the old truth and under the old ways? Lord, we now humbly beg of thee for thy help. Oh, do grant thy spirit in speaking and in listening, and that with an impression that our sins, they are great and manifold. Oh, Lord, wilt thou grant under all thy speaking in so many ways, may it also be the goodness of the Lord that bringeth us and our children to repentance, to turn from our evil and our worldly ways. May our eyes then be upon thee in this evening, O Lord. Thou wast promised to bless thy word. Thou wast never promised to work in the places of wickedness and vanity, but under the external administration of the covenant. Wilt thou then do it in this evening hour, and gladden us with thy divine deeds. Lord, wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 185, the stanzas 5 through 9. Well known to thee is my reproach, my shame and my disgrace, the adversaries of my soul are all before thy face. And what follows, 185, 5 through 9. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 16, the question and answers 40 through 44. Question 40, why was it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? Answer, because with respect to the justice and truth of God, a satisfaction for our sins could be made no otherwise than by the death of the Son of God. Question 41, why was he also buried? Answer, thereby to prove that he was really dead. Question 42, since then Christ died for us, why must we also die? Answer, our death is not a satisfaction for our sins, but only an abolishing of sin and a passage into eternal life. Question 43, what further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? Answer, that by virtue thereof, our old man is crucified, dead, and buried with him, that so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us, but that we may offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Question 44, why is there added, he descended into hell? Answer, that in my greatest temptations, I may be assured and wholly comfort myself on this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, tears, and hellish agonies in which he was plunged during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, hath delivered me from the anguish and torments of hell. Lord's Day number 16 speaks of the last three steps of Christ's humiliation. Three thoughts. First, Christ's necessary death. Secondly, Christ's meaningful burial. And thirdly, Christ's inexpressible descending into hell. The last three steps of Christ's humiliation. Christ's necessary death. And then we hope to consider number 40 and 42. And also touch upon number 39 of the last Lord's Day, which speaks of his crucifixion. Secondly, Christ's meaningful burial, Numbers 41 and 43. And thirdly, Christ's inexpressible descending into hell, number 44. Thus first, Christ's necessary death. Beloved congregation, in these Lord's days, then we find a precious gospel for a poor, for a needy, and for a sinful people. In these Lord's days, a word that speaks of the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then a way is declared for us and our children, that we may and we must be saved, but young and old, we need to become partakers of these blessings by the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has promised to work by word and by spirit. May we and our children in these quiet and in the latter days of the earth, may we be found more at his throne, humbly beseeching the Lord for a blessing, that the Lord may do a great work amongst us. We are all traveling to eternity, and that wonder needs to take place here in the time. It is a work of free grace. That is the hope of for us and our children. What would it be, congregation, if we would have to tell you that you would have to convert yourself? Then it would be forever and forever lost. We are called to use the means, to use them diligently. When we do not, then it shall testify against us in the last day of judgment. Then perhaps, boys and girls, then you can remember the five ways in which the mediator, that is one who stands between two parties that are apart, then maybe you can remember by now those five ways, that the mediator must be known in his names, his natures, his offices, his states, and his benefits. And now we have come to the states of the mediator. Then there are two states, the state of humiliation, where the Son of God has stood guilty before his Father with all the sins of his people, the state of his exaltation when he was acquitted. And now in this evening, and Lord's Day number 16, a continuance of the fourth article of the 12 articles, and then the last three steps of the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it was asked in the last question of the Lord's Day 15, is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? Yes, there is, for thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me, for the death of the cross was accursed of God. Crucifixion, that was not a punishment that was used by the Jews. Then many times they were stoned. It is true, we have different examples after they were stoned, that they were hung on a tree, and it was a Roman punishment that was used for slaves and for the greatest criminals. Then crucifixion, it was a shameful death. It was a painful death. It was a sure death, and it was a cursed death. Because I read in Deuteronomy 21, verse 23, accursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And now concerning that crucifixion, it was necessary because it was prophesied, where we read of that piercing in Psalm 22 verse 16. It was necessary to fulfill the types because the sacrifices, they were lifted off of the earth and they were laid on that altar and consumed by the fire. Then crucifixion, that was done in public, oh Golgotha. Then many have traveled that way, and it was before Jew and Gentile. But now our instructors, they are given to stress that he took on him the curse which lay upon me. Then in Galatians 3 verse 13, then we do not only read that he took the curse upon him, but that he was made a curse. And in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, that he not only took the sin of his people upon him, but that he was made sin. Thus, they are very deep and profound expressions of the love and the willingness of that precious Savior, that he was willing to suffer, that he was willing to hang upon the cross of Calvary with those pierced hands and with those pierced feet. Oh, young and old, what a preaching. Therein lies the possibility for the chiefest of sinners to be saved. Oh, then that precious mediator. Oh, have a few souls come up in this evening that are burdened with her sin, with the curse, with the burden of sin. Oh, then in this evening, then it may be preached Christ and him crucified, and with those outstretched arms, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Thus, the necessity that Christ was crucified, he was willing to be the substitute for his people. He was willing to hang on the cross in their place. He has taken their curse and he has taken their death. And now in this Lord's Day, then there is asking question 40. Why was it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? Thus then the question is, was it not sufficient that Christ has suffered extremely Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and that he was crucified? Was that not sufficient to pay for the sins of the church? And why was it now necessary that he must also die? And then we read, because with respect to the justice and truth of God, a satisfaction for our sins could be made no otherwise. Would have been right and justice if we would read at the end of this answer, then by the death of the sinner himself, the Lord, with our deep fall, was under no obligation to take a step outside of himself to save sinners. And yet, reverently speaking, congregation, now the Lord has come under a holy obligation. He has given unto us his precious word. And in that word is declared a way that sinners may be saved. and that sinners shall be saved by the work of a triune God. Then the Lord has given such precious promises in the Scripture concerning those precious things. Thus the wonder does not say, then by the death of the sinner himself, and even a sinner himself can never satisfy that justice of God. Oh, for the lost, and how terrible it shall be to go lost, congregation. How terrible it is to be lost. Do we think of those things, congregation? Or are we so busy with our life? No time. And that maybe we think later, or when I become older. But there is but a step between us and death. Ah, the sinner shall never be enabled to satisfy in hell. There shall never come a messenger and say, it is finished. Now you may leave, but to all eternity. But now the wonder of grace. Then by the Son of God. And then the instructors, they have stated, but with respect, in the first place, they have mentioned two attributes of the Lord. In the first place, the justice of God, that he is so holy, so pure, so righteous, that he cannot step off the throne of his justice, that he must punish sin by a threefold death. Ah, when the Lord works, then we become exercised with that justice. Then we become exercised with our sin. Then it becomes real, congregation. Has that now taken place in our life? Have we become a poor sinner before the Lord? Have we learned in beginning who the Lord is? Ah, then that people, they love the Lord in all his attributes, also in his justice. And then they learn that they must repent, that they must be renewed. Ah, the Spirit teaches them with all their repentance that they have not a penny to pay. Those are necessary lessons, congregation, to learn here in the time. But now that justice of God requires, because the Lord has said to our first parents in paradise in Genesis 2, the verses 16 and 17, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we in our covenant head have eaten, and to that end we lie under the sentence of death. But not only the justice of God, because with respect to the justice and truth of God, the Lord, he upholds his word. Not one word shall fall to the ground. The Lord has stated that if we would eat of that tree, that we would come under a threefold death. And that threefold death is a spiritual death. Ah, that we realize not our death state, and that we are not exercised with it and unable to deliver ourselves. Then secondly, then it is the temporal death, and that is the separation of body and soul. What a solemn thing death is, congregation. Do you many times think about death? What it shall be when the time comes for me? When the Lord sends the angel of death, and when two best friends, body and soul, who have dwelt less or more years together, when there shall be a separation, when our body shall be buried, and when our soul ascend to its eternal destination. Ah, we read in Hebrews 7, verse 29, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, this congregation, none excluded. Do you believe it? Do we believe that we truly have to die? I'm not asking if you believe it for your neighbor, but do you believe it for yourself? And what about the exercises? Does it bring you many times the throne of grace, begging the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, cannot appear before thee as I'm born. I need a new heart." Boys and girls, do you ask the Lord every day for a heart that may love the Lord and that may hate sin, that we may be prepared to meet our Maker? Oh, a heart that needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, with respect to the justice and truth of God, oh, and those attributes, of course, in short answers, the instructors cannot mention everything, but there is declared the mercy of the Lord, that the Lord has thought out a way that fallen sons and daughters of Adam, that they may be saved and reconciled, could be made no otherwise than by the death of the Son of God. Oh, what a precious message for a people that have become exercised with those holy things and that learn more and more that they cannot save themselves. Oh, maybe a few souls where they thought at the beginning it would go from strength to strength, and now it seems to go backwards. Oh, what those goodly pearls that they have received, it seems that they are being taken away. But what a precious gospel that may be declared to us and our children, that satisfaction has been made, oh, by the death of the Son of God. He has cried out, "It is finished," and therefore nothing can be, nothing shall be, and nothing be need to be added to that precious sacrifice. But now question 42. Since then Christ died for us, why must we also die? Thus the instructors, they are asking, if Christ has now made perfect satisfaction for his people, and if he has borne the punishment, then why must God's people also die? For the unconverted, then death is a punishment for their sins. But how is that now for God's people? Then there is asked, why must we also die? Oh, then the instructors, they are speaking about God's people. Has that also become your burden, congregation? When we go through the catechism, that you hear it each time that there is mentioned us, we, me, and those words all refer to the people of God, and that you have to tell the Lord, "Oh Lord," then each time, "then I am excluded because I am not a saint and I am not one of those that call upon thy name and truth and uprightness." Oh, may it become an unbearable burden. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, may you be given to beg even with your lips daily, to be given to ask the Lord that he may bestow his grace upon you and teach those lessons and that need to be learned here in the time, because if we become exercised with that satisfaction and with the truth and the justice of God at the end of our life, then it shall be forever and forever too late, because then never a gospel preacher shall come and still preach a remedy and a Savior. Then it shall be forever too late. Then all the sermons that we have heard, they shall only rise up against us in the day of judgment. And then it shall be had I. May it please the Lord in these solemn and in these serious times, do we not hear the footsteps of King Jesus? What all lies before us and our children, it is known to the Lord, but young and old, this Lord's day, if it may be our portion, then it shall be well, because Christ, he has purchased his people for time and eternity. Why must we also die? The Lord bind the reality, the solemnity and seriousness of life upon all our heart. And of course, when the instructors speak of the death of his children, then there have been a few exceptions, boys and girls, who in the Bible did not die. That was Enoch, who walked with God, and an Elijah was taken by those chariots. But for the children of men, the Lord has appointed for all unconverted, converted, that death is the way that we are taken out of this life into eternity. If God's people would not have to die, then how full the churches would be. Then what a nominal Christians there would be. But now it is appointed, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 2, that the same thing befalls the wicked and the righteous, one event to all, because the Lord has a people that in the first place not excluded. They do not seek the Lord to escape hell and to enter heaven, but the Lord has a people, they seek him for himself on account of that love shed abroad in the heart. And now the answer, our death. And it is true for God's people. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. Then death is the last enemy. It's true that enemy has been conquered by Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? But for God's people, what a fears and what a trouble they can also have with death. Many times it brings them to the Word of God to examine themselves whether it is all right and true, and a blessing when it may bring them at the throne of grace. But now for God's people, the instructors, our death is not a satisfaction for our sins. If that was so, then the sixth cross word of Christ would not be true. Then it would not be finished. Christ is perfectly satisfied the justice of his Father concerning the sins of his church. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But now death, our death, is not a satisfaction for our sins, but only and abolishing of sin, all went astray. In the life of the people of God, they can become discouraged, nigh to despair. Think of Elijah, when the Lord has done such a great work, sent fire to light the altar, the priests of Baal have been slain, the Lord has given an abundance of rain. Ah, then for the prophet Elijah, he had prayed, he had hoped, under such wonders, such remarkable providential events, that surely the children of Israel, that they would come to their senses and that they would return to the Lord. But he received the message from Jezebel that he would be like those priests. Ah, when we consider Israel, with all the wonderful things that the Lord has done, and they did not turn unto the Lord, are we different congregation? Must the Lord not say unto us, what more could have I done to my vineyard that I have not done unto it? What a blessings and what a callings have come unto us. Oh, when the Lord grants it, then there can be times, not out of discouragement and nigh to despair, but then there can be those times that there may be a desire to depart out of this life. And then the instructors, they have mentioned two matters, but only an abolishing of sin. Ah, that is their burden. Would it be more so, people of God, in our day, more burdened with our sin, and to experience that sin causes separation, and then it becomes so lean that we dwell in a dry and a barren land where there is no water? What a blessing it is when by renewal that sin becomes a burden. Oh, people of God, when you think of that time when the Lord has begun, how tender everything was, and that sin was truly sin, and that it became guilt, how that you were given to pour out your heart before the Lord, perhaps made many promises, that it was so tender. Ah, that there were times that you had to go special times on your knees to confess a special sin. But only an abolishing of sin. And a passage into eternal life. Oh, for God's people, then their death, to be delivered from everything, in the first place from self, from the world and from the devil, and then a passage into eternal life, to be given to praise the Lord for his wonderful works. Our second thought, a Christ meaningful, a burial. Who was he buried by, boys and girls? Who was Christ buried by? By Joseph of Arimathea, counselor, and by Nicodemus, who was come to Christ that night in John 3. Then we see the care of his father over his son, that he may receive an honorable burial. Many times, then they were taken off the cross, and they were buried all together in a grave, or perhaps even left on the cross. But for Joseph and Nicodemus, a heart full of love. Oh, then Christ has cared for a son, that he would receive an honorable burial. That is the fourth step of the state of his humiliation. Why was he also buried? Answer, thereby to prove that he was really dead. Of course, not the only proof. Christ has commanded his spirit into the hands of his Father. And Pontius Pilate, when Joseph of Arimathea, when he has come, then he has given that body over, because Pontius Pilate has sent those soldiers, and then they have broken the bones of the one and the other. But when they have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they saw that he had already died. But then we have read it together, then a soldier had taken a spear, and that he has pierced the side of Christ, and forthwith came out blood and water. Thus then we have many proofs that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has surely died. And then further, that he was not taken off of the cross by the enemies, but he was taken off of the cross by his disciples, by Joseph, and by Nicodemus. Oh, how tenderly they must have took their beloved off the cross. And then surely, if they had recognized any signs of life, they would have never have buried him. Thus, that he was buried by his friends, by, we would say, 9 disciples, that is a sure proof that Christ has died. But his burial, as we read, thereby to prove that he was really dead. And then we could mention more reasons. Oh, with the burial of Christ, then he has sanctified the grave as a resting place for the bodies of his people. Then with that burial, the sins of his people are buried with him. Then there is asked further in question 43, what further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? Answer, that by virtue thereof, when we read in the question, what further benefit, then it is implied that there was already a special benefit described, and that is the benefit of justification, and that is for the people of God to be acquitted of our guilt and to receive a right to eternal life. But now a further benefit, that by virtue thereof, our old man is crucified, dead and buried with him. Paul has written to the Galatians, in Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who was given himself for me. Thus the instructor, when then in this question and answer, in this Lord's Day, when they are speaking of the last 3 steps of the humiliation of the precious Savior, then at the same time they are speaking of the benefits which are given unto the child of God, and which they may embrace and receive by true saving faith, that by virtue thereof our old man is crucified, dead and buried with him, And thus the instructors, they are speaking of the sanctification of the church. And now perhaps there are a few souls, when they read these words, oh, the crucifixion of the old man, that is a painful, that is a shameful, and that is a slow death. And maybe there are souls concerning certain sins, that they surely thought that they have conquered, they have learned, not in their own strength, but only with the Lord's blessing and help, and that they believed that there were sins that they have indeed buried, that they have put a tombstone on top, hoping that they would never arise, that they would be buried for good. And now in this evening that you have to confess that it seems they have risen again, and that they have come with more power than ever, and where it seems that they have no strength. Oh, that old man and that flesh, oh, what a warfare that is, that holy warfare in the life of a child of God. And now concerning that sanctification, then it is so necessary that the child of God learns that they're all in their own strength. It shall forever be a losing battle. Oh, it can go up and down, but that the victory lies in that precious Savior who was given himself, oh, who was crucified on the cross of Calvary. That so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh, oh, then each time by renewal, then we read that the instructors of the Heidelberg Catechism, that they were deeply exercised with the things of the Lord, that they were led clearly on the way to Zion, but that they have also experienced, and each time their desire to exalt that precious mediator and point out to Zion that it is the only foundation, the only resting place for the soul. That so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign, in us. Perhaps by renewal the question of a few souls in my midst, it seemed that there was a time that I was overcoming those corrupt inclinations. It seemed that I was enabled with the help of the Lord to go from strength to strength, that I hope to become more and more holy, and so to become a proper object for free and sovereign grace. But the instructors, they have spoken of those corrupt inclinations. Do we not read in Romans 7, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? May no more reign. Thomas Watson, he has stated in a certain place that in the life of the child of God, they may rage, but they may no more reign, but that we may offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving, as we have heard in Lord's Day number 12. Let us first sing a Psalter 203, the stanzas 2-5. Thy counsel through my earthly way shall guide me and control, and then to glory afterward thou wilt receive my soul. And what follows, 203, 2-5. the last three steps of Christ's humiliation. Christ's necessary death, Christ's meaningful burial, and now thirdly, Christ's inexpressible descending into hell. The article descended into hell, that is not found in the early forms of the articles of faith. In the Nicene Creed, we read of his burial. Of the Athanasian Creed, we also only read of the descending into hell. It seems that those terms that they have been used for the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Middle Ages, then different heirs have come into the church concerning this article. And in the time of the Reformation, then there have also been different explanations, because when we read the 12 articles, and if someone would be now in church tonight, out of the world, and when they have listened closely, then their conclusion would be that Christ has died, that he was buried, and that after his burial, he has descended into hell. These matters were also considered in the time of the Reformation. But because the 12 articles have become so sacred in the church, and in the time of the Reformation there was much division in the churches, even in family circles, concerning the truth, then our reformers, Calvin, has thought it best that it is necessary in the church, the 12 articles, that they would leave him as they have been for some centuries, but to give a clear explanation in the midst of the church, that the church would not have the wrong understanding of this article. Why is there added, he descended into hell? And then it is clearly declared that this has taken place before his death, that in my greatest temptations, the instructors do not say in my greatest trials, but in my greatest temptations. And then it seems that the instructors are implying those temptations also from the Prince of Darkness. What a arrows. Oh, what an assault that he comes with concerning their state. Do you not really believe that you are a child of God? Look at those corrupt inclinations. Can be riddles, can be perplexities. When we think of Pilgrim's Progress, then John Bunyan, it is clear that he had a great knowledge of those greatest temptations. In the Valley of Humiliation, where he had that great battle with Napoleon, with the devil, that he was afraid that the end has come. When we think of the Valley of the Shadow of Death, that narrow pathway, or as it were, the sparks of hell. And then he has also written, then that wicked one has come behind Christian, and that he has whispered those blasphemous things in his ears, trying to make Christian think that it was he himself. Then later in his book, then we read that he has slept with hopeful on the ground of giant despair, and that he was taken into the Doubting Castle from Wednesday to Saturday. No water, no food, that he was beaten. But the Lord has given deliverance. That Christian has discovered the key. And that is the promises in God's word that he would be delivered. And now the instructors, that in my greatest temptations I may be assured and wholly comfort myself in this. People of God, do you hear it? And my unconverted fellow travelers, may you become jealous that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, tears, and hellish agonies in which he was plunged during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, had delivered me from the anguish and torments of hell. We have not time to further explain it. But what profound words, what comforting words for the true child of God. And may they be words that arouse the unconverted to a holy jealousy and to be given to turn it into a prayer. Lord, wilt thou save me? Wilt thou deliver me from the anguish and torments of hell? Then by renewal, the instructors, they are given to point it to that precious mediator. And Paul has written to the Galatians in chapter 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee that thou wast granted another Lord's Day, yet a few words to speak, but also another Lord's Day less upon this earth, nearly another day closer to eternity. And then we have heard of him who has taken the sins and the curse of his people upon him, that he has taken their death, and that he has taken their hell, and to that end they may go free, and also in that further benefit of sanctification, it is only in beginning. It shall be perfected at their death, Lord. Wilt thou prepare us and our children? Work then lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit. May we be given to return to our homes and meditate upon what we have heard and lay it before thee on our knees. Lord, we may commence another week. Wilt thou remember in the day of tomorrow, when another school year hopes to commence? Wilt thou remember in the home? Wilt thou remember on the way at work? Wherever we are called to be, keep from harm and danger, keep from sin and temptation. Wilt thou guide our thoughts, our words, and our deeds? Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another? Lord, wilt thou now keep us under thy kind care and protected? Then we are protected well. Bring us safely to our dwellings and forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 135, the five stanzas. Hear this, all ye people, hear. Earth's inhabitants, give ear. All of high and low degree, rich and poor, give heed to me. And what follows? 135, the five stanzas. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.